The gospel lesson this morning is a long one. 30 verses. Chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. Because of so many verses, don't try just to worry about the detail. Just hear the story as a whole. Just let the words kind of flow over you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is a sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And then Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. We tried something at the early service and at the middle service, and I'm going to try it now, but it didn't work at either of the other services. But I don't care. We're doing it because I already had written it into the script here. Okay. We're going to do a word association game. And the way it's going to work is I'm going to say a word, and then you're going to just blurt out the first thing that comes in your mind. Now, let me just say, turn your church filters on. Yeah, Bob. Okay, here we go. Let's just try one. Cookies and? Okay. Cream, milk, we'll take either one. Okay. How about this? Rock and? What? Rock and scissors. Okay, we didn't hear that one at the early service. Thank you, TJ. Okay, that was a good one. Okay. How about liver and? Okay, at 9:45, we had spleen given. Anyway. Salt and? Okay, that was pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Joseph and? See, you're not supposed to get that one. That's where it fell apart, the early two services, too. No, you were supposed to say, and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. But you didn't, did you? No, anyway. So that, just forget that. Okay. Joseph. That's what I want to talk about today is Joseph. I've had him on my mind for the last couple weeks, ever since the second night of our One Advent series. And that was a great series. If you weren't part of it, I'm sorry. A lot of you were. Great food, fellowship, and just very interesting discussion. For that series, we used Adam Hamilton's book entitled The Journey. I was asked to fill in on week two. Week one focused on Mary. Week two focused on Joseph. Joseph, I said, great. So anyway, we met together. We had our small group, and we were asked by Adam Hamilton to begin our time about Joseph, asking for general impressions that folks had of this individual. You know, who was Joseph? Tell me about Joseph. Well, I asked that question to the group, and it seemed to catch people a little off guard, really. They were kind of stunned. I don't think they'd ever been asked, tell me something about Joseph. And so we kind of waited a little bit, and we kind of were a little bit awkward, and finally the answer started coming. But every answer was very similar to every other answer. It was a great guy, just a great guy, Joseph. You know, do anything for you, really friendly guy, honest, good, just great. Great guy, just kept over and over again. We're all nodding, yes, great guy. And then it just kind of hung there in the air, kind of awkwardly. And there was a lot of smiling and nodding, but a lot of silence. Let me ask you, do you remember Rodney Dangerfield? No? Some of you? What was his line? Get no respect. That's Joseph. Joseph just doesn't seem to get any respect. No, he's a great guy. He's a great guy, but that's all we say about him. Okay. It's called the Annunciation. You know, the announcement that Mary's going to have a baby, and this baby is going to change the world. Okay? In Luke's gospel, only in Luke's gospel, we have the account that I just read. Just a few minutes ago. So I was going to read it all again, but Bob went like this over there. So I'm just going to read what's called the Magnificat, the last part when Mary responds. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. Wow. Wow. Mary was poetic, she was wise, she was monarchical in the way she presented everything. Have you heard that before? Yes, you just heard it a few minutes ago. Okay, it's just magnificent, the Magnificat. Okay, now compare Matthew's version. The Annunciation is made to Joseph, not to Mary. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they had lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. That's it. I don't know if you noticed or not, but Joseph doesn't say a single word. In fact, the best I can tell, he never says a word in all of Scripture. Mary's going off on these long poetic verses. Joseph doesn't say a word. Basically, he just sits there and does whatever he's instructed to do. He goes with, he's a great guy. He's a great guy. Not the life of a party, but he's a great guy. Joseph. Okay. That night at One Advent, as we talked about Joseph, someone in our group made a comment, and they'll remain nameless. Okay. We've made eye contact. Okay. And it was perfect. Everybody in the group knew exactly what they were talking about. They said that each year when they unpack their Christmas decorations and the nativity scene, there's that awkward inventory moment. Right? We know that. You get out all the figurines and you set them all in a pile over here and you decide how you're going to place them. Right? And maybe you have one of those moss-covered, you know, shelters, and you've got it set, and then you kind of just place the pieces in the appropriate place. But if you don't have one, you have to decide how you're going to do it. A little perspective, put some wise men back in the back and up a little bit. You know that? Okay, well, you do all that. Then once you've got it planned out, then you have to assemble the cast. Okay. First thing you locate in the pile of figurines is what? Jesus. That's right. That you find Jesus, and you're lucky if it's a one-piece setup with the manger. If it's not, you're searching for the manger for a while. But you hope it's got them together. You put them in the middle, and you go, Mary, and you start putting it together. You know, then you get to the wise men. One, two, good, three, great. They got gifts. Put them over there on the left. Okay, here's some animals. There's a couple sheep, cow, whatever. You've got them. Put them all in place. Camel, got a camel. Okay, then you say, well, what else is in the box? You look down there, we got a bunch of shepherds in here. Okay, well, let's get those shepherds. Whoa, wait a minute. Where is Joseph? We got a bunch of shepherds, but where is Joseph? Well, just pick one of them. Just pick one of those and just put them over there next to Mary. It'll be fine. We'll just pick one of those shepherds. But no, it's all this. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking, Rodney Dangerfield. It's called the Christmas pause. Joseph who? At home, we have an Advent calendar that hangs on the wall. It's made of, I know it's tapestry, that's a technical term, but it's a piece of cloth. And it's got a bunch of little pockets, 25 of them. And in each pocket, there's a little stuffed figurine. And then above it is all this Velcro, and it's got a picture of a stable. And so what you do is on December 1st, you go to pocket number one, you pull out the figurine, and you decide wherever you want to just put that figurine in the scene. Okay. Well, yesterday was day 20. And so Molly's up early, and she said, I'm going to go put the figurine on the Advent calendar. Great, go do it. I'm in the other room. I can kind of see her from a distance. I got my coffee there, and all of a sudden I hear this. It's Joseph! So I'm testing my theory here, and I yell out. I say, how do you know? How do you know that's Joseph? Then there was this pause, this long pause. And then there was a recantation. Oh, no, it's just a shepherd. Just a shepherd. My mistake, just a shepherd. When you get home today and you have a nativity scene, I want you to locate Joseph if you can. And I want you to like stare at him. I want you to give him a physical. I mean, it's once over. And what does he look like? Is he old? Is he young? How do you know it's Joseph? How do you know that? How do you know it's not just a misplaced shepherd? You know, Joseph isn't even mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. Not even mentioned. Rodney Dangerfield of the Christmas Story. Who is this guy? It's been bothering me because this guy, Joseph, is always in the middle of things in the birth story, but he's never the center of attention. He's always there, but you never look at him. The festival of Christmas begins this Wednesday evening at sundown. The festival of Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. But to call it just a birthday party, a birthday celebration, to just leave it there just doesn't seem to do it justice. It doesn't allow us to grasp the depth of what we are professing. Christmas is a celebration of mystery that we call incarnation. We all wrestle with what that means to us. The mystery of Emmanuel, God is with us. That idea alone should blow your mind. And the implication of such a confession should leave you speechless as you struggle for understanding. How is that going to work into your life? And the implications help us as we begin to grasp the fact that maybe it, Christmas, is not about us. It's not really about you. It's not really about me and all the trappings. No. And the more I thought about this over the last couple of weeks, the more I began to believe that Joseph may be the only one who understood Christmas. The only one who figured it out. You know, he didn't say anything. He just stood there and took it all in. He allowed the enormity of the moment to confront him. You know, that's what I want to do this Christmas. I want to be Joseph. That's what I want to be. I want to be Joseph this year. I want the significance of incarnation just to wash over me. But that's hard to do. That is so hard to do. With all the demands of the holiday, I'd be lucky to get a minute or two of that. But you know, a minute or two might be enough. Tomorrow is Alana's and my 25th wedding anniversary. Yikes! I meant blessing. 25 years ago, we were married at Hayes Barton United Methodist Church down Fairview Road. And because I was working at Hayes Barton at the time, and it was 3 days before Christmas, we couldn't go on a honeymoon at that time. Had to get back to work. And so we postponed our honeymoon, and we went on a trip to Israel in February of that year, or the 2 months after that. It was an amazing trip, and I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay. But what I do want to bring up is the fact that while we were there, we bought a hand-carved olive wood nativity set in Bethlehem. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Anyway, the shopkeeper wrapped it all up individually, gave it to us to transport across the ocean, and we did. We got home. It was February, so we put it with all the other Christmas decorations, didn't unwrap it. The next Christmas comes, Christmas 1990, and we say, let's get out the new creche. So we open it up, start taking the inventory. We're missing one figure. One figure. Joseph. Joseph is missing. And if it had been Mary, I would have been back going over there and getting my money back. Or if it had been the baby Jesus, we'd had to do something about that. No Joseph, but four kings. That's a good hand. Okay, wait. No Joseph. So what did we do? Well, with a Dremel tool and the steady hand of my brother-in-law, Tim, we filed down that crown on that fourth king's head, and voila, we have a Joseph with his fancy fez bringing a gift to his kid's birthday party. And I was thinking, we just made a Joseph. We made a Joseph. And then this week I thought, when I'm looking at that set in our house, you need to come over. I meant to bring him to show you. But what a great metaphor. Making a Joseph. With a little work, we can do it. During the first of two preschool Christmas chapels this year, Aaron led the first one. I was not there, but I've gotten the report, and it was wonderful. It was a very short kind of Christmas pageant. But Joseph, in that particular pageant, was not happy about being up there in front of everybody. And my understanding, he just kind of sat there like this throughout. Very uncomfortable with it. Sitting there right by Mary, just all balled up. And by the end of the pageant, just about in tears. So parents rush up there after the pageant is over. They say, "What's wrong, honey? What's wrong?" And he couldn't say anything except this. He said, "Everybody was looking at me. I don't want everybody looking at me." And when I heard that, I said, that kid is wise. That kid gets it. That kid, that's the perfect Joseph line. That's the perfect Christmas line. It's not about us. Don't be looking at us. It's about Emmanuel. God is with us. 3 days, friends. 3 days. My advice is this. Get out the Dremel. That's all I'm going to say. Get out the Dremel.